Woodstock Chimes offers a unique variety of high-quality, affordable musical gifts from around the world that inspire, entertain, and bring pleasure to people of all ages. They've been wonderful friends to this radio station for years. Their most recent endeavor, Woodstock Chimes for Autism, was inspired by several uplifting stories shared by Woodstock Chimes customers. One aspect of autism is hypersensitivity to sound. Studies have found that music therapy can assist with some of the challenges attributed to autism. Mozart's music in particular has been a blessing for some individuals living with autism. The Woodstock Chimes for Autism features a specially designed clapper, so its soothing tones ring more gently. The chime is musically toned to a melody from Mozart's Piano Concerto No. 21. The Woodstock Chimes for Autism also features a bright nickel-plated wind catcher with the symbolic multicolored puzzle pieces. This recognizable and distinctive logo was first created in 1963 by the National Autistic Society. Gary Kvistad, Grammy Award-winning musician and founder of Woodstock Chimes, joins us now, along with Jamie Wolf, director and co-founder of the Center for Spectrum Services Program in Kingston, New York. Gary and Jamie, thank you very much for being with us. A pleasure to have you aboard. Thank you, Jamie, for being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
And Gary, thank you, as always, for being here. We're also joined by Sean Doy, the father of Tyler Doy, a remarkable 9-year-old with autism who has been affected by Woodstock Chimes. Sean, thank you very much for being here as well.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's a delight to have you with us. So, Gary, let us begin with you and how you got into this this whole project.
Well, I've always been fascinated by the powers of healing through sound. And our chimes are often used in therapy, and I know that music is a healer. When I started discovering how large a group of people that are affected by autism, I thought we should do something about it. We've always had a charitable chime category and different places that we would donate the profits. But then we were contacted by Sean's family and told about Tyler. We were so moved and so amazed by his talent. Tyler is able to identify all of our wind chimes, and we have hundreds of them just by listening to him. And he just turned 9 years old. He was 8 years old when I met him. And we were so impressed by his talent that, and we wanted to help out in some way, so we came up with the idea of making a wind chime called Chimes for Autism and donating all of the profits after taxes to,
that thing.
The governor's got to get something. But we're sharing it with the Center for Spectrum Services, with Jamie's organization, and they do fantastic work and treatment, and with a group out of New York that does research. So we're very happy to be able to do that, and thank you for that great introduction explaining.
So before I want to talk with Sean about this, but at what point did you, because you have a film on your, a video on your website, which tells Tyler's story, which is absolutely amazing. And
it is.
So I assume you all produced that to tell that story.
We did. We brought in a professional crew, actually from the Midwest. They specialize in these sort of documentaries, and it's an 8-minute video. They can go to our website, which is very simply chimes.com and /autism if they want to go directly to that, or just chimes.com, and they could click on the banner about autism and see this amazing thing. We also have a few other things. Dr. Kenny Bach from the Woodstock area is a internationally known person specializing in treatment and helps autistic population as well. And there's an interview of him on there as well.
Sean Doy is the father of Tyler Doy, who is the 9-year-old who is featured in this video with autism, who is very much affected by Woodstock Chimes. Sean, at what point did you realize that Tyler resonated with the sound and with the chimes?
Well, Tyler always having a very unique interests. He was initially interested in birdhouses and bird feeders, and he went for a drive once to look for them, and someone pointed out a wind chime to him, and from then on, he just took a fascination in wind chimes, and in having that intense interest, we would reward him with good behavior or good performance at school by buying him wind chimes. And just by the growing interest of playing his own chimes or going onto Gary's website and listen to the different sounds of all the different wind chimes, he just somehow developed this amazing ability to identify each of the wind chimes just by hearing it for even just a couple of seconds. It's really an amazing talent and something that I can probably identify maybe 5 wind chimes, and he can identify over 100. So it's just amazing.
What is amazing about it is that here are chimes that are musically tuned to a particular melody. Many are to a particular melody, and sometimes it's very quick to identify them. And other times they say, oh, this is tuned to Mozart's Piano Concerto number 21. You're like, oh, okay, I hear that, I guess, and there you go, as if on cue. So, but to be able to do that just from hearing those 5 notes is really extraordinary. And do we know why that is the case, of why Tyler is able to do that, Sean?
I really don't know. I mean, the minds of someone with autism is really amazing. I mean, obviously, I guess you could say they're wired a little differently than the typical person. Tyler never really took any other interest in music, really. We've tried to get him into piano, and he never really cared for it. And to this day, even though he loves wind chimes, he has really no interest in getting into music. He just loves the wind chimes and just has that innate ability to name the chimes just by hearing it.
What's fascinating, Jamie, is that in your work, in looking at this, you're co-founder of the Center for Spectrum Services program in Kingston, New York, and I assume that every child like this has a story, right? Has an interest and if you will, a gift.
Well, certainly every child has talents. But I think what Tyler has, we could really call a savant skill. And savant skills are rarer. They're really astonishing, very narrow islands of ability that are in marked contrast to neurotypical development. And music is often a savant skill, and about 50% of people with savant skills are autistic. So Tyler does have a diagnosis of autism, and this certainly is an expression of musical ability. However, it's an unusual expression of musical ability, and more commonly we see people with perfect pitch or the ability to reproduce a piece of music after hearing it one time. But to be able to identify all these chimes, and not only the chimes, but I believe, if I'm correct, that he knows exactly when they were first developed, so he has the history of each chime that he's memorized as well. So he has quite a wealth of knowledge that encircles each of these chimes. It's quite remarkable.
It is remarkable. In the video, it shows a smackdown, if you will, between Tyler and Gary of identifying the chimes. These are chimes that you created, and Tyler can name every one of them.
And quickly.
Yes.
That's what blew me away. It took me seconds to come up with it. He'd hear it and immediately say Chimes of Olympus, which is a scale from the 7th century BC ancient Greece. And it's not like a melody you'd recognize right away, but it's a beautiful sound. And so I say he's inside of this sound like nobody else. And that's how he can do it.
So
I think he won the contest, as a matter of fact.
Well, I gave it to him. He he was, and they
did
about
without question. Yes.
Yeah, right. I he was incredible.
He was.
You know, let me ask you, Gary, because I find this interesting as well. When you're in designing of this particular chime for autism. As I mentioned in the introduction, that there is a specially designed clapper. So, what went into the design that would have been different than a regular or normal Woodstock chime?
Well, I chose the Mozart because Mozart's music is used a lot of times with healing and with learning programs. You've heard of the Mozart effect and so on.
Right.
So I thought that would be a really good way to go with it. The clapper here is not quite as thick and heavy as our normal wind chime, a little softer because of the hypersensitivity to sound. And then the wind catcher, of course, has that beautiful multicolored puzzle piece on it that represents the spectrum. So those things went into it. All the rest of the elements of it are acoustically correct, like all the rest of our wind chimes where the clapper hits it, the actual tuning, which is really perfect, which makes a big difference. People don't get tired of it. And Tyler seems to like wind chimes despite the hypersensitivity. That's all he wants to do. He came to our studio. I have literally thousands of instruments in my music studio. He only cared about the wind chimes. I tried to play some Bach on a marimba. He walked away and started ringing wind chimes, you know.
Right. And ultimately, when you think about that, Sean, I mean, how, give us a sense of how that fits into Tyler's day. I mean, it's obviously an interest, but is it something that he listens to all the time, or is it something that he can just identify when asked, or how is that integrated into his day?
I would say that, to be perfectly honest, I wouldn't say that wind chimes at this very moment are his number one interest. However, it's very strong number two.
Yes.
He has a display, a Woodstock chimes display, right in his bedroom, which has about 50 of his chimes on it. So it's always there. It's always reminding him. And whenever, I guess we have a cheap house and our floors are kind of wobbly, and every time we walk by at them, a bunch of the chimes ring. So he's never away from it. And from time to time, he will, his interest will spike where we'll spend an evening going through the chimes.com website and looking at all the different chimes and such. And then there might be a stretch of maybe a week where he doesn't even bring up the subject of wind chimes. So I wouldn't say it completely isn't completely enveloped his entire life right now, but it's always there and hopefully always will be.
Okay, so now I have to ask you, because it's my duty as a talk show host, so what is the number one?
Number one right now is anything to do with Super Mario.
Oh, okay. All right, that makes sense. That's good. That's a good thing to go second to, Gary. That's fine.
I'll accept that.
Yeah. Jamie, talk to us a little bit about your organization, what you're doing, and ultimately the research that is being done and the optimism that you all have.
Well, this is a very exciting time to be in the field of autism. There is such exciting research because, actually for a very sad reason. The sad reason is that the incidence of autism has just astronomically increased in recent years, and the latest statistic from the Center for Disease Control is that 1 in 68 American children now are considered with an autism spectrum disorder. So as a result, one of the happy outcomes of that is that a lot more research is being dedicated to it and a lot more money is being spent on the research. And at our agency, we serve the entire spectrum. So you can be profoundly affected with autism and function on the retarded level, or now with the new research from the Center for Disease Control, 50% of the people diagnosed have average or above average intelligence, and we serve that population as well through our two schools in Kingston and Ellenville, community-based programs, which are very exciting to us because that's where we get into early diagnosis, which makes a huge difference in the outcome of the therapies and the educational program. And we have a clinic where we do diagnostic evaluations for autism for people of all ages and consult to schools and other agencies and run conferences and trainings. So what we're finding with the research now is that the causes have a genetic component and a strong environmental component. Mm. And it's a complex interaction, you know, in each person. And that's one of the reasons why each person with autism is so uniquely different. When we talk about environment, we're not just talking about the air that we breathe and the ground that we step on, but we're also talking about the environment of the womb and what happens to the child before they're born. And some of the latest research is showing that some causes could happen in utero, and that is very, very new information.
Well, it's wonderful work, and I thank you very much for sharing it with us. I would really direct people to the website chimes.com and check out the video with Tyler. and one of the many children who were inspired by these chimes. And Gary, is there going to be more in the series, or is this it, or how's this going to work?
You know, we're looking into another charitable chime right now. There's a lot of causes, obviously.
Right.
We have one, prayer chime goes to Tibet House, the prophets, for Tibetan culture. So we're always wanting to add to that. And this is such a wonderful project. We have so many people. We had Ellen DeGeneres tweet us recently, and it was up on the Huffington Post and Upworthy as well. So we have 100,000 or more views on this this wonderful video Tyler's in. So chimes.com, check it out.
It's beautiful. Gary, Jamie, Sean, thank you so much for joining us and sharing with us this morning. Best wishes to all of you and to your great work. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very
pleasure.
Much.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.